by thinking of the cross today, God, as we do on a Sunday, and as we try to every day, God. Humbled by your love, humbled by your Son, your word, God, that you are a man of action, that you never let us down. You never disappoint. God, you are true and just like nothing else we will ever know. And we love you and we praise you, God. I pray that, Lord, the words that we share today from John and from other passages will encourage and inspire and challenge us as saints and as friends meeting here today, God. Lord, please use me. Please speak through me, God. Take out bits that you don't want me to say, God, and bring in bits that you want me to say, God. Help me be your vessel. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before we go any further, just in terms of prayer, it's really helping me this month. And I'm looking at the prayer series, and I want to just have a bit of sharing. Not really about what we're getting out of it necessarily, but just get a bit practical today. So I wanted to ask you if you guys have got any, like, you know, dynamite prayers. Like, you know, you sometimes you have these prayers, and they just, you hear that prayer, and you go, that's a great prayer. I should pray that prayer. Or you hear about someone, they prayed a prayer. You thought, man, why don't I pray that prayer? It's not often I get to pray that prayer. I think I should do that more. I'll give you an example. This is one of my favorite ones, okay? Bless this night's sleep. Make it feel like I've slept double the time. Now, that is a great prayer, isn't it? Who's prayed that prayer before? And who's felt like they slept double the time? It happens. So that kind of, any thoughts out there, guys? Any prayers? You think, like, you know, well, I prayed this prayer, and this is a great prayer. Yeah, Jackie. Love it. The stuff that I'm studying will come up in the exam because I don't have time to cover everything. Great prayer for students and teens, and fantastic. Any other thoughts? Guys, this is not cheating. Some of you are looking at me like this. Hold on a minute here. You know, is this gospel? Guys, we can pray about anything and everything. John 14:14, Sonny.
Yeah, well, sometimes when I'm looking for something, I may take the time just worrying about it, looking for it forever. But when I spend some time to pray, I end up just finding it very quickly.
Right, absolutely. Praying for lost things. Who prays for lost things? Yeah, some of us more than others. Amen. Car keys, things like that. Rob. Amen. That's a great prayer. That's an awesome prayer. Any other ones? I've got a few more. I'll give you one more for myself. The traffic jam prayer. The traffic jam prayer. You ready for this? Clear the road like the Jordan River. That's one of the... I'll tell you, and my wife, when she prays that prayer, we want once on the M11, it just cleared. It was like that. I was like, God, you are great. Another one. Bless this object as I purchase it. Let me never lose it. I don't see many people writing notes, guys. Don't come to me when you lose things, all right? I'm trying to help you out here. Thank you for this food. Sounds simple now. I have fasted so that you will hear my pleas, and I'm grateful that you provided me with this food for me. I mean, pray for food at the end of a fast, man. I love that prayer. I mean, that's just a great prayer because you just feel, God, man, I'm going to enjoy this meal. Like, I don't really enjoy meals every other day of the week or whenever I don't. Any other ones? I've got one more to close out. Okay. Oh, go on. Yeah, Richard. Right. And he missed it. Oh, well, there we go. There we go. We're getting on dodgy ground now, right, guys? But I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You just want justice. And in a penalty decision, sometimes that happens. Sometimes it might not be his will. Amen. I appreciate that. Another one for us. We prayed this recently. We've been on our street 7 years. We've been reaching out to neighbors. Some of them come to church. A really great community where we are. So the houses that we can see, we kind of know them quite well. And if we have something, they come over and we go over to theirs. But there's not been much movement in terms of the hearts of wanting to be disciples. So we prayed this prayer. We said, God, if people aren't open, like, let them move out. Now, no one really sells on our street. We're quite near the station. not many signs go up. We were looking on our street for about 3 months. We really wanted to move there. And one sign went up and we ended up getting a great price and we got this house. That's why we're there. But within like a month of praying this prayer, my next door neighbor's house went on the market and sold. And across diagonally across has gone on the market and he sold. Like within like a month. And, you know, so now we're like, wow, God, you know, we're prepare the people who are coming. But another great prayer. I'm not asking you to get rid of your neighbors. But for me, prayer is powerful, man. Prayer is powerful. We're going to move on to the first slide, if we can, Joe. Have you got the... I maybe need you. Thanks, mate. So living like a fruitful branch. We're going to focus mainly on John 15 today. Really, today's just a bit of exegesis, pulling out the scriptures from John 15. But I'm going to give you some other scriptures there you can look at. I'll refer to them and you can write them down and look at them another time. But let's turn to John 15 and read that now. And let's continue to share great prayers, guys. It's such a faith-building thing when you hear someone prayed this prayer and it was answered. And how it was answered is phenomenal. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And then skipping down to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am the vine is the last of the great I am statements Jesus makes. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate, etc. In the book of John. And this dialogue, they don't know where this conversation or this dialogue took place, but somewhere between the upper room where they'd shared the last supper on the way to the garden. So it's somewhere around, maybe they saw a sign of a vine to represent Israel. It's not clear. But I just want to define fruit here. Fruit is a word used a lot in the scriptures, sometimes misused, sometimes needs some clarification. It's said a lot in the Bible. These are references to other mentioning of fruit up till the Matthew 7 20 verse. And really, you can look at it in many ways. Ultimately, the outcome of your life is the fruit that you produce. In industry speak, your productivity, what you produce. Leading productive lives with our everyday lives. And the results of a life lived in Christ, you could say. It's not just passion for evangelism. Often it's used in that context. Bear fruit, help people. Bring people to God, help them know God, and that's fruitfulness, which is true, and that's very true. But it's not just that. Or sometimes we say, oh, it's the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5, or the fruits of the Spirit are love, gentleness. It's not just that, though. We can look at a fruit in this term as being, you know, an outcome, a result. Good fruit is any action or quality of character that reveals God to the world and advances his purposes. Many places you can look at fruit being real just obedience to God. You know, if you're leading a fruitful life, in all that you're doing, you're obeying God. The result of your life is obedience. You could also talk about it as showing love for one another is a fruitful act. If you're with Christ, if you're in Christ, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, remaining in him, you're going to love people. You're going to love your neighbors. You're going to love those around you. You're going to love your work colleagues, your family. That's a fruit. That's fruitful. You know, what does it mean, though, to abide then? This word, abide in Christ. Any thoughts, guys? I want to open up. What do you think it means to abide in Christ? Yeah, Mark. Great. Intimate. Love it. Intimate relationship with Christ. Fantastic. What else? Any other thoughts? A bit of an old school word, but just want to digest it a little bit here. Bookie. Right, staying with, being consistent with, nice terms. Joe. To think like him, great. Yeah, I mean, there's a few definitions I've got, and because as Christians, we're called to abide. And here's some of the things from some of the commentaries I read, came up with some of these translations. To remain in, to live, not just to live actually, but to settle permanently in. You know, abide means, you know, to be there permanently, to be at home in, to continue to be at home in, to continue to abide. And as Mark said, it pictures kind of abiding in Christ, an intimate, close relationship, and not just a superficial acquaintance. You know, is Christ your home today? You know, some of us have taken out a short-term lease in our hearts. Some of us might say, well, you know what? I'll give it 6 months with this or that spiritual thing in my life, and then that's it. Or I'll come to this church for a while, and I'll visit on a Sunday. But that's okay for now. I'm on a short-term lease. You know, you say you might be a temporary visitor in church. You're not a temporary visitor on earth. You are a temporary visitor, sorry, on earth. You know, you're only here for a short time on earth, but that doesn't mean we should only be in the church for a short time. You know, for some of us, Sunday is where we abide. Like here, Sunday church, that's the place I like to abide on a Sunday. But what about Monday to Sunday? The rest of the week, is Christ your home? I've got to be honest, religiousness is a huge stumbling block for us in our church. Huge. It's easy to pitch up and look smart. What's that? Dizzy Rascal. Pitch up, look sharp. I can't remember the term. Dizzy Rascal song. Fix up, look sharp. You know, it's easy to do that on a Sunday. There's no way you look better than sitting in your pew right now. You all look lovely. Let me tell you. But, you know, let's not let work, family commitments, schools, materialism take precedence over and above God and godly standards. You know, that is religious behavior. Where things are a priority in your life the rest of the week, Sunday morning, I put that out. That's religious behavior. We got to be careful. Are you really living in Christ today? Matthew 7:21, many will say, Lord, Lord, even within our number, and may not make it. In fact, Jesus may say, away from me, you evildoers. You know, if you're visiting today, the call we have as a church is for you to abide. You know, we're not here to say, hey, come along and just, yeah, tweet this, tweet that, add this onto your schedule. We're not going to ask many questions of you. Just come and go. We love to see you here. We do love to see you, but we're calling you to know the glories of our risen King. We're calling you to choose to make him Lord of your life. That's abiding. You know, we're not talking about a short-term commitment. This is of primary importance. And John is saying that here. Without him, you can do nothing. Even as Christians. Well, I come along. I feel like I'm fairly... Well, you know, make sure you stay in the vine. You can't do anything if you're not in the vine. Well, I've got these visions for my family, for this thing, for a ministry, for my friends, for my street. Stay in the vine. Make sure you're tight in the vine. You know, because... You can do nothing without that. And you are intended to bear fruit. You're intended. You are made to bear fruit, to have positive outcomes. Physically, you're made to help others. We're given a gift of speech to speak to others. We're given the gift of listening, to be able to hear other problems. How are we doing with that? You know, being Christ-like, you're made in his image. To bear fruit is your destiny. It's your destiny. And I love in the book we're reading at the moment by Ronald Dunn, he talks about the branch in this passage in John 15 being like a grape rack, somewhere where God's just going to hang the grapes. You know, we just got to be available. You know, we just got to be there saying, you know what, I'm healthy, I'm staying close to the vine, I'm in touch with Jesus. He's like, well, I'm going to just drape those grapes over you. You know, that outcome's just going to come. That result you're looking for, it's going to come. And I love that. You know, he says that, I love this insight. God produces the fruit. The branch simply bears the fruit. Yeah. You know, the branch, for us guys, we sometimes think, man, I've got to do it. You know, that could be my nature. I'm a worker. I like to work hard. I like sweating a bit. I want to get a bit dirty with the ministry, with friends, with issues. I like that. And it's tempting for me to try and do it in my own strength. You know, what he's saying here is, you know, do you know your place? Are you trying to produce the fruit yourself? You know, verse 4, let's just read it again. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You know, us as a branch, we are an instrument, not an ornament. And we are designed to be used. The church is a movement, not a monument. We're not meant to stay the same. You know, we're meant to be used. And to be a healthy tree or a healthy church, we're dependent on each of us making decisions individually to change. We can preach. We can put class series together. We can, you know, help get a family group structure. It's great to have Bolo on staff with Tokes. You know, all these things can happen. But unless we as individuals go, I need to change that. How has it been with my evangelism recently? How has it been with my family? You know, is my marriage the light that I want it to be? I'm not saying that it's not. I'm saying, you know yourself what changes it needs to make. Your parenting. Are my children really, you know, are they bearing the fruit that I want them to bear? You know, Israel was called the vine. Joe, can you skip on to the next slide, please? Oh, the vineyard. Israel was originally called this. And these are the scriptures you can write down if you want to check this out more. And it was significant that Israel called itself the vine. And Jesus came and said, I am the true vine. Like the vine that's come, Israel is not it. I am it. And it's significant, the vine allegory, because it stresses dependence on Jesus. The trunk, the vine is the main bit coming up. You can look at the trunk of a tree. We've got to get close to that. That's the center of the plan for life. But it is this. He compares himself to Israel here, which Israel really didn't act in harmony with its calling. You know, Israel had a calling. It's a vine, so it should bear fruit. But the amount of times God has to come in and say, that's not the fruit I'm wanting you to bear right about now. That wasn't my intention that you bear that kind of fruit. You know, whether it's wars or whether it's infighting or whether it's factions or whatever it was. You know, so Jesus comes and says, I am the fruit. You know, Israel did not stick to its calling to bear fruit. You know, I feel this for myself, for Mulligan. I feel this. I feel, you know, there's still more that I want to do, that I need to be for Christ. More that I could do to make a difference. I feel that. You know, I think I shared about my grandfather before. He was in government at some point in the 40s and 50s in this country. And I feel like there's a bit of that on my shoulder a little bit. Going, you know what? Man, you got to be somebody. You know, are you going to be somebody? Now, my parents have never put that on me. I've never really felt that, and I appreciate that. I know for some of us, we have that on our shoulders. And you know what I'm talking about. But a lot has been given to us. A lot has been given to me. And therefore, a lot is expected. You know, am I rising up? Yeah, I'm a disciple. But what impact am I having on my street? What impact am I having at my workplace, amongst my family? And sometimes I get into that worker mode again. Well, I've just got to do more. I've got to work harder. I've got to graft more. Not necessarily. You know what? Prayer is one way I can do that. Prayer is one powerful way that I can make that difference, that I can be that light, that I can make a difference with the people that it's hard to maybe have conversations with. Some family members where things just don't go well when we talk about God. You know, prayer is the place where that can happen by petitioning, by being unrelenting, by fasting, by putting faith in Him. The great God that we worship, to do the things that we crave and the things that we desire and be the person God wants us to be, trusting in Him. Prayer is the difference in making a difference. Prayer is it. You know, have you today responded to your calling? To be true to yourself, to the person that God made you to be true to those around you, not by your standard, but by Jesus' standard, by the most holy one. You know, I want to talk to the teenagers. There's many callings for teenagers these days. Many callings. to be a footballer is a big one, I hear. When I meet teenagers on the street, it's probably close up number one for the boys. What you, I want to be a footballer. Okay, great. You know, it's a calling. To be a dancer. To be in the music industry. Hear that a lot. What are you doing? Well, I'm fiddling with music in a studio. I want to be this. You know, to be cool. That's just for us non-teens, that's quite obvious to us. And, you know, and to be smart and clever and to do well in school. And I appreciate, as Davis was sharing about the stabbing in Dulwich this week, I appreciate what he said about teenagers who are making a difference. Martin shared that, sorry. Just, you know, I appreciate that, that there are teenagers here that we can look to and go, wow, I want Isaiah to be like that. I want my son, when she grows up as a teenager, I'd like her to be like that. You know, to be responding to the calling to be a Christian. You know, maybe it is to be a gangster. Some of them have this call. You know, oh, I think it's, trust me, it's a dark road. It's a dark road. Even if you don't really believe it in your heart, you're around people who think like that, you could be the one on the edge who gets the knife. I'm being very real here. It's in front of our eyes, guys. You know, what do you think God's calling is for you? Well, I can't abide. I'm not a disciple yet. Well, I hear you. But remain in the word right now. Where you are, remain where you are. Grow as a branch. Remain in the Bible studies people are doing with you. It may be hurting. I'm going to share a little bit about pruning in the next point. There's some hurting being a branch. It can really, we can feel it. A bit of a cut here where the Bible cuts. But remain in it. Don't go anywhere. Remain connected to the fellowship. You know, remain in prayer. Stay put and that day will come. Amen. You know, we're calling you today to abide, to live with Christ. Amen. Second point. Let's, next slide, please. Prepare for pruning. Let's just read over verses 2 and 6 again. Just have a look in John 15, verse 2. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Even good branches get pruned. That's challenging. It's easy for us to say, well, old dead wood should be cut off. Should be, I mean, just makes sense on a tree. It's dead wood, cut it off. But here, Jesus said, no, no, no. Even if you're bearing fruit, you need to be cut. You need to be pruned to bear more fruit. Well, you know, how does that work? Well, what is it that prunes? Jesus says here, the word does the pruning. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, prunes us. And that's how that happens. And the word works for everybody. Whether you're bearing much fruit, whether you're not bearing much fruit, whether you're dead wood. Like the word is for everybody. It's not, oh, well, no one's ever doing great in Christ that they don't need input. No one's ever, oh, yeah, this person, oh, they're just great. Everything's great. La-di-da. Hey, God says, you know what, really? Let me come in there and let's do a bit of snippage. Pruning translated in the Greek means to cleanse, to purge, to trim clean. You know, there's other scriptures here. You can look in the Old Testament, Leviticus 25, Isaiah 5. An example of it is the disciples before the day of Pentecost. We'll look at Peter in Acts 2 or some of these guys stepping up and starting to lead the church. We're like, wow, what a bunch of radical disciples like we want to be. But you know what? A lot of pruning took place before then. You know, a lot of Judas was cut. Judas was dead wood. He was one of those guys who was, he was out of it. He had to be removed from the vine. You know, Peter was snipped, you could say, maybe hacked by Jesus many times to get him into shape to deliver that sermon in Acts 2. A lot of pruning had to take place with these guys. Can you turn on to the next pic? I want to share with you my garden. It doesn't come out too well. Go on to the next one. And one more. So this is where I pruned a little bit. Here's a tree, okay? Now, initially, it had loads of branches. And I'm going to show you what I used, okay? I've got a little bit of a... So on some of the trees, had to use these. What did you think I was going to get out? So these are actually my granny's. My granny's got the green fingers in my family. And she left them to me. I should really sharpen them. And I should be taking care of them a lot better. But I'm a kind of amateur gardener. I do like gardening a bit, right? And these are some apple trees in the back garden. And a lot of them, some of the healthy ones, just needed a snip here and a snip there. I'll be honest, I didn't need to do much to them. You're basically meant to take an apple tree down by about a third every year. Like if it grows up, you just got to kind of bring it down to bring it back to the vine, to bring it back to the trunk. All the energy stored in the trunk in winter, I've been reading about it, you got to bring it back, all right? So a lot of it, you know, they would do it in good shape. So I'd just get up there on my stepladder, Isaiah would like to climb up, give it a bit of a snip, all right? Some of us are like that. Some of us just need a bit of secretary. These are called secretaires, right? And you're meant to wear gloves. I couldn't find my gloves this morning. I did get a snick this week from doing that. So that's a bit of the okay trees need a bit of that. This is the next one. Now, this is actually called a pruning saw. Now, I've actually broken it because I've over-pruned. Because I'm not God. God does the pruning. Luckily, it's not us. And I broke a bit off here, and it's kind of just about fitting about together. But what's good about this is you can do it with one hand. You can just kind of reach those places. And you can kind of, I used it for a little bit, like a bit on the trunk of this tree. This tree had never been pruned. Like the shape it's got there is not right. An apple tree should have a main trunk, and then it should go out. A bit like a wine glass. Right? And it's kind of gone off a bit. So I had to use this on the trunk and do a bit of this. Like not really, you know, but you could use this for kind of medium-sized trees that have had some pruning, but not loads. What about the big, you want to see the big one? There you go. There's the bow saw. So this is a bow saw, okay? Now this one, I like that, I've worn it. I bought it a few years ago, it's nice, got a bit of wear on there, love it. This, you can't really get into those little places with this because of the arch, all right? So you use this, this is what I use for the top branches. Wallop. I mean, I probably brought this down by more than a third, all right? Maybe even near a half, because it's just so, it was so overgrown, it'd never been dealt with. I don't want you near the saw, young man. So this is a bow saw. So you see the kind of thing we need for gardening. Anyone want to, you know, feel the blade? It's quite sharp, all right? We need a little bit of this. You know, how is it for us? How is it for us? What do we need right now? You know, are there some things in your life that every now and then someone needs to just say, hey, how's that going? Give a bit of a snip. You know, we're going to talk about how God prunes in the word in the third point, but just about the fact that it's happening. You know, someone, oh, well, you know, I see that in you. Just, you know, how's it going with that? You asked me to keep you accountable on that. Let me give you a little bit of snip. Maybe we've got one branch in particular that's just going out on its own. Our lives are doing well, but there's one thing just not really in keeping with the vine. He wants the saw, doesn't he? It's not really keeping with the vine, and that needs to be chopped with a bit of a pruning saw. It needs more than a little snip. Maybe it's been a long time since anyone got in our hearts, and we need a bow saw. We need a proper lopping of branches. Taking back to the trunk. Taking back to Jesus. You know, where are you at today? What pruning do you need? You know, a lot. Maybe the sisters aren't relating much. Maybe I'm just getting all macho here. Hair is very similar though. I want to say, hair is very similar. It is. It's true. We've not cut Isaiah's hair yet. Isaiah's got this massive, it's turning into a bit of a mullet at the back there. So it's kind of, he had a bit of cradle cap at the front. The front didn't grow and he got this kind of big waft at the back. But my barber said, don't cut it yet. The minute you cut it, you're going to be coming to see me all the time. Very generous barber. Didn't want to charge me. So like we've left it and it's getting longer and longer. The minute we cut it, what does it do? It stimulates growth. Straight away. Stimulates growth. It's good for your hair. It's good for your hair to be cut. It's good to be snipped. And it's good for us. And you know what? Deep down, we want it. Deep down, we all want someone to say, help me be better. Help me make a difference. Oh, I need some pruning. There's some things that's not going well. Now, is someone going to have to kind of come at you with a saw? They don't know which saw. Or you know, because some of you might need a snip and they come at you with a big bow saw and you're like, whoa. You know, are you being vulnerable and open with the things that you need? Are you in those kind of relationships? You know, we've not reached our potential as individuals. This tree has much fruit to bear. I've seen very little of it so far, I'll be honest. That's why I had to take radical measures. Amen. You know, we have not reached our potential. You know, how can you be a healthier branch? And what part does prayer play in this for you? You know, we need healthier branches to produce more fruit. Prayer is one sure way. If you just turn on to the next slide, Joe, there's any more. This is, I just want to leave, this is like, what, that's the, one of the main trunks of the trees that I took. See the one on the right? Because it's got branches growing all over the place. And if they touch each other, they disease each other. The fruit falls on the branches. The fruit should like fall outwards in a fan. Sorry, maybe I'm getting a bit technical, but there we go. And then on the left, that's how much wood I've got left at the back of my house. I've got to do some, have a bonfire at some point. But like, I mean, I went for it. I wasn't messing about, I tell you. So let's turn to Psalm 5. Let's just have a quick look in Psalm 5. There's some other scriptures there about a discipline, Hebrews 4, James 1, Romans 5, about how we feel about being pruned. Because some of us are a bit like, whoa, I still don't know if I like that. And it hurts. Hey, Bible's like a double-edged sword. Okay, Psalm 5, verse 3. Just a nice verse on prayer. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You know, that's the heart we need for our lives to be healthier. You know, when we're convinced it's only through God's strength that we can do anything meaningful. And when we cooperate with his pruning, when we talked about it before in this class series, where our will and his will match, where we're just like, God, I'm praying for things that I know are his will. And we, you know, things go well there. God is able to produce fruit, much fruit. You know, I have a small family. Joe, my wife, at the back. We have Sam, who's 6 months, and Isaiah is 2. And, you know, my view of raising children has gone through some pruning recently. It's gone through some serious prunage. I'm not sure that's a word, but I like it. You know, my view of how to raise a family and what I thought about before, even with one child, or even as a single, or even as a teenager, what I thought, well, if I ever had kids, what would I do? It's been exposed. It's been really exposed. And I've had to think about, well, what do I really want? You know, how I was raised and what I thought about that. You know, I've had to review and think about it. Some things I agree with, some things I don't. And I've had to go through that. How my siblings and good friends are raising their kids in and outside the church. You know, differences of views about how we do that. I've had to review and think, well, do I think and get a lot of advice about it? You know, about discipline, about dreams for my children. What do I want them to achieve? You know, how do I desire to see them grow? How Joe's thoughts can be different from mine. And how we have to, has to be a bit of like maybe a snip here for us to fit together. You know, we've got to do a bit of pruning there. God's doing the pruning to get us together. And one challenging thing has been smacking. Hot topic, government topic. And when Isaiah was about, when Psalm came along 6 months ago, Isaiah didn't like it too much. And he would show us by throwing his food on the floor, by saying, ah, in my face a lot, by hitting me or hitting Psalm. And so we got into a policy of smacking the hand. We had time out, we had a naughty step, smacking the hand. And then we thought, well, he really doesn't understand. And I chatted to my brother, and my brother's really like laissez-faire, just, hey, just a lot of love. And, you know, another member of my family, very similar, you know. And then, you know, my brother's raising 4 boys, tough job. Passed out, and we got advice, different people in the church. Everybody's got different views on this. Loads of views, hot topic. And we were like, well, I'm just sharing my story. We were like, well, we're going to drop that for, let's try, because he was starting to understand us. He started to communicate, use words. So let's try and communicate with him. So we left it for a little bit, and the behavior got rapidly worse. And we got some more advice. Someone said, well, try a naughty corner, like a timeout corner in the room. Because if we send him out the room to the bottom of the stairs, he'd mess about in the corridor. So now we got a timeout corner in the room, which really works. And he goes over there reluctantly and he just sits on it. He falls back and he sits like that. But he takes it, takes the punishment. And for really serious offenses, if he hits Sam, he hits me, he gets a smack on the hand. And I'm talking a sharp smack. So he cries. So he goes, ah, like that. I'm talking about that. I'm not messing him out. Because you give him a smack, there's no point giving him a smack unless it's going to mean something. And I'm not saying you need to be this. I'm just saying this is what I'm going through. And that's where we're at right now. And it seems like we're kind of turning a corner. There's a lot of work to do. But he's kind of like responding most times first time. And we get in there. But there's been a lot, and there's going to be more pruning in the future. You know, but I share that because that's a wrestle for us at the moment. What is God pruning in your life? What are you having to review your thoughts about? In line with the scriptures, in line with the advice you're being given, hopefully you're seeking, in line with what you think or maybe how you were raised, your view on things. You know, pruning is highly desirable. Teens, relationships. God might want to do some pruning right there. God might have already done some pruning right there. You've got to think about who you hang around with. Purity. You know, what you watch, what you don't watch. Where you go. Materialism. The latest. I appreciate some teens I appreciate have really basic phones. I really appreciate that. Because most teens I share and I go, oh, my phone's not as good as that phone. And you know, but you know, I appreciate people not being consumed with it. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a good phone. I'm just saying, you know what I mean about teenage life. You know, what is God pruning? What about these guys, these football commentators this week? Andy Gray and Richard Keys. Some got pruned right out of a job. Pruned in daylight on YouTube, on the BBC, on Sky, on IT. They got pruned, embarrassingly pruned. Hacksaw, bowsaw, that's right, chainsaw. For using sexist language, inappropriate language. Ridiculous mentality. Now, I believe the man should lead the family. I believe there's a role for men in terms of leading the family in church. There's roles for women. And, you know, should a woman, in the work sphere, all is equal. Do you know what I mean? In the family, absolutely men should step up. But you know, ridiculous views and ridiculous impurity as well. Impurity. How the mighty fall when they're not right in the hearts. When they maybe, I don't know if anyone's pruned them. Anyone's gone in and said, you know, they've allowed God into their lives. And anyone said, you know what, that view or you doing that when you go out and the way you guys chat, it's probably not good. Banter that you have in there, it's not mature. You know, it's the same for us. God will cut it out somehow. And it could be publicly embarrassing for you. You know, heed the call. You know, what is he doing? How does it feel? Here's some scriptures about how it feels for us. Sometimes it's challenging. You know, what method is he using and what is his goal? Do you trust him to take out what you need? Do you trust him in his word to do what he says? He's never let us down, guys, and he never will. You know, for me, I'm praying first before my Bible study at the moment. I always used to do my Bible study first, feed my mind, and then kind of go to God in prayer. Now with this series, I've really reversed that. I'm trying to really go to God in prayer. Prayer is my weakest sort of attribute in that sense. And that's been pruned, even my view of my quiet time. What is he pruning in you? Last point, reading and reaping. It's going to come up. John 15, John 15 verse 3 and 7. Let's go back there. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. You know, have a look in 1 John 2 as well. Last scripture. 1 John 2 and verse 3 to 6. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. A different version says, we know that we have come to him if we keep his commands. You know, the key, Ronald Dunn in the book, in his book, explores, it says, the key to understand these verses is the word keep, like keeping his commands, you know, which means to be vigilant, to be to keep a watchful eye on something. It's used of ancient seafarers on the seas who used to keep a watchful eye on the stars to see where they were, and they sailed by them accordingly. You know, does this describe our Bible study? Does this kind of mentality describe the attention we focus on his commandments? You know, the word of God is so important to an effective prayer life. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask, whatever you desire, it shall be done for you. You know, is the word of God abiding in you? And for this, attitude is everything. I want to end with a couple of practicals. Can you turn on to the next slide, please, Joe? You know, there's a few ways we can be cleansed by his word. How does God do it? He prunes us with his word via teaching. So we do teaching in our church on a midweek. Great way of staying in his word, being cleansed, being pruned by preaching on a Sunday. Different kind of thing. Maybe more challenging, more exhortatory, I think the word is. Where it's more about how can we apply it to our lives. Midweek, maybe more explaining the scriptures, getting in there into the nuts and bolts. Personal conversations. You know, how we chat with one another, discipling relationships, in family group, sharing the word that way. Personal Bible study. You know, getting into the Bible daily, as it talks about in Acts, looking in our word, seeing what is it saying for our lives. And even sudden, you know, recollections when something might happen and we're like, gosh, that makes me think of that scripture. You know, it can be like that. Even for me, yesterday morning, Isaiah was with my grandfather, his grandfather, my dad, and I thought, I've got a lion. I was really looking forward to a lion. And Joe had said, yeah, I'll get up with Psalm. You can have a lion. And, I normally get up with Isaiah first. I was like, wow, great. And thinking about that. And then Joe started not feeling too well when she went to bed. And by the time I heard her in the night, she was coughing. And by the morning, she was like, can you deal with Psalm? I tell you, it was hard. So I struggled. And this is not the first time this has happened. You know, I got up, out of the room, get Psalm. Get the bottle. Where's the bottle? The bottle's not... I mean, started speaking quite loosely to my wife. Not appropriately. Like, you know, where's the bottle? You want me to... This sort of thing. And Joe had actually brought all the feed upstairs. Like, she'd actually put it all there for me. Because I was in this huff, I didn't even notice. And these scriptures started to go through my mind. Loads of them. Love your wife. quite a crucial moment. Show compassion. You heard that she was sick. And you're now acting in a really grumpy manner because you can't have an extra hour. You know? Give yourself up for her as Christ did for the church. You know? All these recollections, the way the word speaks to us sometimes. Don't be a reluctant giver. I was doing it. Psalm was screaming, but, you know, crying by then. Someone's got to do it. But that heart was not right. You know, love one another, these scriptures. Love your neighbor. You know? And guys, you know, that's the Spirit talking right there. That's the Spirit talking. When we hear things like that and it's the Word of God, we got to obey it. And I'm not sharing this for a point of strength, but, you know, I got to repent. That's not the first time that's happened. You know, Joe's needed me to act in a way that I've called on me to do somewhere. We've had an arrangement of things. I could do this, and I feel quite tired, and I'm reluctant to do it. And I got to repent. And ask me about how I'm doing with this. It's got to be better. Last slide. Just some other practicals here. Read the Bible regularly. This is a list from his book, the back of the chapter 14, I think, 13. Read the Bible alertly. You know, are we reading every day? Are we awake when we do it? You know, are we dozing off? Are we doing it on the train when it's too busy to concentrate? You know, I'm not saying once in a while, but every day, got to be thinking about this. Are we reading it systematically? Teens, I'll open it where it falls. The Spirit will lead me. I'm not mocking that you get into the Bible. Guys, get into a book. It'll make more sense. You read a number of passages together in any order. You could believe we're meant to do something completely different than we're meant to do as Christians. You know, read a book. Get through it. Read the Bible with variety. Try a different version. You know, if it's always King James or it's always NIV, try something different. Read a different one. Read the Bible prayerfully. Pray before you read. God, open my eyes. Open my heart. You know, pray, read the Bible expectantly, like Psalm 5, the prayer. I'm going to get something out of this. I want to hear from you today. And lastly, read it obediently. There's no point in us knowing it and not doing anything with it. You know, this is some points for us. In conclusion, let us abide in the true vine, Jesus Christ. You know, if you're in the vine, remain, stay strong, be pruned, seek pruning. You know, stay healthy to bear much fruit. Let us have a heart to want to be pruned by God and learn from his word. Then God, who asks us in the song, do you want to just flip on last slide? He says in the song, this is, would you be poured out like wine? And the key line for me really resonates with this. God asks us, would you be so one with me that you would do just as I will? So that then we can respond, yes, I'll be so one with you that I would do just as you will. Amen. Thanks very much for today.
Amen. Amen.